All right, welcome back to it. It is a Monday. My next guest has been studying terrorist groups for years, has immersed himself in that world to understand it better. Ryan Morrow is the director of the Clarion Intelligence Network. Ryan, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's start with the death of General Qassem Soleimani. How significant, in your estimation, is that to the Iranians' ability to direct terrorist attacks throughout the Middle East or anywhere else in the world?
Oh, it's massive. I mean, people should not be out there saying, oh, well, if you kill this leader, then they just replace him. That's not how this works with this guy. He's extraordinarily talented. That's not my favorite word. But experience does count. Relationships do count. Talent does count. And I don't think they're going to be able to replace him. They may be able to get someone who is familiar with his strategy and is still a threat, but someone to his level, probably not. And to understand the significance of this, I would say the best way to compare it would be if in the Iranian regime, the supreme leader is like Emperor Palpatine from Star Wars, then we just killed Darth Vader. You're not going to be able to replace Darth Vader.
Right, exactly. And I appreciate that. Is it odd to you that you hear politicians that don't like Donald Trump out there attacking Donald Trump for somehow making the world less safe by taking out this terrorist leader?
It's bizarre. It's far beyond really anything I ever expected. And I have a strong distaste for demonization and politics, so I'm sensitive to it. This is just beyond the pale. I mean, you're talking about Qassem Soleimani as a man who is really behind dozens of individual terrorist groups and militias who just massacre and rape people and loot. You don't get much worse than him. He's even been linked to al-Qaeda. Mike Pence was right about that, by the way. I know he got criticized a lot in recent days for pointing out that Qassem Soleimani's forces were linked to the hijackers, and I've looked at that. It is true. So it's just remarkable. You can criticize maybe, in theory, you can say, okay, well, maybe you think the strike wasn't worth it. You're worried about what may follow. But this type of moral equivalence and making it sound as if the United States picked a fight with Iran unnecessarily is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I find it bizarre. But you see, you know, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez calls the president a monster. Ilhan Omar accuses him of committing war crimes. Chuck Schumer, apparently, you know, the mainstream Democrats say that the president has acted beyond his legal authority, which is completely not true. Of course, he has the authority under Article 2 of the Constitution and has not just that, but has statutory rights to do it as well, to defend America against terrorist attacks and to kill terrorists. And here's a guy who's killed hundreds of Americans directly and has been involved in other attacks as well. It's just, it's mind-boggling to me, Ryan.
To be honest with you, I think that the media is underselling how bad Soleimani actually is. Because, first of all, I think it's more than hundreds of Americans that he's responsible for killing. That's just, to me, that's the lowest most of number. But if you look at what he's done since 1998 when he first got this position, you're talking about literally millions of people who either died, were injured, or lost their home across the Middle East.
Right. And some say, and let me ask you this, Ryan Morrow here, director of the Clarion Intelligence Network. Ryan, let me ask you this. Compare him because Osama bin Laden was obviously the number one target of the United States for many years until he died during the presidency of Barack Obama. But some have said, and I think rightfully so, this guy, Soleimani, was more dangerous, had created more havoc and done more harm. Yes, we have the 9/11 attacks, and I appreciate that. But this guy was more dangerous and was involved in a lot more attacks, ongoing, and was planning even more. What is your assessment comparing this guy to Osama bin Laden?
The 9/11 attacks likely would not have happened without the assistance of the Iranian regime and Qassem Soleimani's forces. They allowed the hijackers and many other al-Qaeda operatives to transit Iranian territory safely and didn't stamp their passports so that there wouldn't be a paper trail. That would mean that they would not be scrutinized as much as when they traveled internationally. So what's got to be understood is that the terrorist groups you hear about and these people who get all the attention, like bin Laden and Baghdadi, there are bigger shadowy people behind them. And Soleimani was the king of those shadow commanders behind them. So Al-Qaeda prospered because of him. The guy that he was killed with oversaw over 50 militias within Iraq. And they were connected to pretty much every terrorist group around the world. So you have to put all the terrorist groups and militias together to understand part of Soleimani's power.
So he was not just a military figure. He was a cultural figure in Iran. And that's extremely important as well, because he is a cultural figure for those that subscribe to that ideology that has been taken away from them and killed quite ruthlessly, dismembered. I mean, they had to pick him up in pieces to identify him. I think they found his hand that had a ring on it and said, well, yeah, that'd be his hand and his ring, right?
Yeah, the famous ring that he always had on, the big red one.
Right.
And so that's the picture that went out where everyone, that's how you knew right away. You're like, yep, they got him.
Yeah. So what about repercussions then? Okay, so the Democrats would have you believe that we should be fearful of killing terrorists because it might upset terrorists, which is odd. You know, in America, Americans applaud defending Americans in America. From my experience, people like the fact that a president will kill a terrorist. And it's one of the few places we, you know, when Osama bin Laden was killed, I said, congratulations to Barack Obama. I didn't attack the guy. I said, well done. But what about the repercussions? What about the attack in Kenya or anywhere else we might see? They say that the one in Kenya not related, but who knows, right?
Right. It has to be understood that our intelligence is always partial, especially when the Iranians are crafty. So a lot of the times they'll carry out an attack where it's pretty obvious it's them, even if they deny it. But then other times they'll use a group like Al-Qaeda, or in Benghazi, they use Sunni militias that they normally you wouldn't associate with them. And then it becomes much harder to prove that they're behind it. So I wouldn't rule out the possibility that Iran is behind the attack in Kenya using another terrorist group for plausible deniability. That's very possible. But as for how Iran could respond, I would say look at the recent provocations and they'll probably do a redo of them, mostly to save face. That could be shooting down drones, attacking ships in the Straits of Hormuz, which basically they said they're going to do. They made it
clear
they're
going to do that anyway.
The American military within the region, so they have to do that.
Right, but they were going to attack ships in the Straits of Hormuz. They've already done that last year. Now in 2019,
correct.
They were already doing those things. And the American embassy's already been attacked in Baghdad, and all of these things have already happened. It's not like, oh, well, if you do this, we're going to do these things that we haven't done before. You've done all of those things.
Right, right, exactly. And there was a quote from some Iranian official basically saying, we'll attack the American military, but we won't go beyond that. Basically already saying, look, we really don't want to broaden out the conflict. They feel that they have to respond in some way to save face, but they do not want to make things worse for them. And that needs to be understood. And that's why the panic is really just a giant waste of time. And it's great for the forces of evil when we're panicking like this.
Well,
let's look at this rationally. Be concerned because there is an Iranian network within America that I'm very concerned about. Someone could do something on their own as well. So I'm concerned, but I'm not panicking because I'm trying to look at this rationally.
Well, exactly. And that's something that I think we should all do. Unless I think the world is a safer place when we kill terrorists. That's my take on it. Ryan Morrow, director for the Clarion Intelligence Network. Real quick, your website.
Sure, they can go to clarionproject.org, and then I'm on Twitter at Ryan Morrow.
Ryan, greatly appreciate your insights always. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's the Steve Gruber Show.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal: to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy, they do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.
Being a mother-to-be is both exciting and overwhelming. From shopping for the best stroller to deciding which birthing center to use, there's lots of choices to make. Fortunately, the Economic Alliance for Michigan Maternity Care Project can help. It's an online resource for a mom-to-be in Michigan to educate herself on her options. Visit eamonline.org. That's eamonline.org. Then click Maternity Care Project, a public service announcement from the Economic Alliance for Michigan.
Hydration isn't a sometimes thing. It's an all-the-time thing. Good hydration is proven to improve performance and prevent cramping. Good hydration starts when you get up in the morning and lasts all day. Develop a plan for good hydration all day long and up your game. Visit the MHSAA website and click on Education for more information. A public service message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.